that you shed your blood on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And not only for our sins, Lord, you said by your stripes we were healed. And Lord, you died and rose again, and you have the keys of hell and death, and you have the power now you've given us now over Satan. Lord, you did it to deliver that power to us and that authority to us, that we can resist the devil, cast out demons, and they must flee from us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We are grateful today, Lord, that you're still the creator, you're still the healer, you're still the one and only Savior, and you are the deliverer. And we worship you this morning. We exalt the name that is above every name, and that name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, just a few things. Got one big announcement this morning, which is good, that the registration for Skyfall 2023 is now open. So you can go to the website and follow and register, begin registering, pick out the meals you want. We've already got the caterer worked out. You don't have to do the meals. If you want to go during the breaks to a restaurant or something nearby, that's fine. But if you want to spend more time there and fellowshipping with everyone, then I would encourage you to pick one of the lunches that is going to be catered in. But Skyfall registration, again, that's skyfallconference.org is the website. We didn't do one for 2 years. Last one we did was in 2020, and we're going to be at the same place. We're going to be in LaGrange, Georgia at the Callaway Conference Center. It's a nice facility. But on Eastern time, so remember that. We are in Central time here, so remember they're going to be on Eastern time during that. But go and register for that. Thursday, of course, the day before the conference, we'll have the hangout at the park there, and it's going to be good. So be there. All right. All right. Now, look, I know we've started a series here on the New Age, and even though I was going to get into New Age healing techniques this morning, but I felt led to shift gears a little bit. This is still dealing with the New Age movement. And let's just say this. The New Age movement is not really new, okay? It's Satan's old lies repackaged, all right? But just remember this. Everything in this world is geared toward turning you away from the Bible, the Word of God, the Creator, and turning you away from Jesus. Everything, and about diminishing who Jesus is. That's if you want to know what the New Age is about in a nutshell, it's trying to be a substitute for the true Jesus Christ. Even all their little healing techniques and oils and all this other stuff is to try to replace the Holy Spirit. And they change who Jesus is. Yeah, to the New Agers, Jesus is just an ascended master, one of many Christ figures that we've had, like Buddha or Muhammad or whatever. I mean, they go through, they make out like Jesus is just a man. Except even, now get this, even in the Quran, they say Jesus is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Think about that. Yet they will deny Jesus is God when you talk to a Muslim. But their own book says that he is, right? And that's what I want to read. I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians first this morning, because basically what the New Age movement does is it gives you another Jesus, it gives you another spirit that's not the Holy Spirit, it's an evil spirit, and it gives you a different gospel, another gospel. See, what the New Age movement says is that basically Jesus was just a man who, through techniques he learned in Egypt, that he learned how to tap into his Christ consciousness. And that we all can do that and become little Christ. We can all become our own gods. This is the oldest lie. Because it's exactly what Satan, the serpent, told Eve in the Garden of Eden. If you disobey God and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will be as God. You will be like God. And that is what they're after. Really, everything you see now with the, transhumanism movement. Anybody, everybody know what that is? Transhumanism? where basically they're trying to like alter our DNA, mix our bodies with machines, and Elon Musk and his Neuralink. But here's something for you now as I get into this more, because, again, it's to turn you, everything in the world, system, Satan has created and infiltrated to turn you away from the Bible, the Word of God, and from Jesus. Because he knows that's the only way you're truly going to be saved, delivered from demons, healed, and washed and cleansed of your sins so that you can be prepared to live forever. That's really what it's about. But let's read this verse. Now, remember the Apostle Paul. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and prophets and led them to write exactly what God wanted them to write. So in this letter to the Corinthians, the second letter Paul wrote, and actually I think there were three, but we only have two of them. God didn't want us to have the third one, I guess. Paul probably got too specific naming names for people to handle it. But he says here in verse 1, he said, "Would to God that you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." Oh, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Did I not say that? 2 Corinthians 11. I'm sorry. Here's what's so wild. This verse has been on my mind all yesterday evening as I got up this morning, as I prayed this morning. And when I opened my Bible just a minute ago, open right to it. That's kind of weird. But he says, "Would to God that you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." So these were people who were already born again. Jesus was Lord of their lives. They had been saved. They had been taught the word by Paul, by Apollos. So these were people who were already Christians, but he said, "I fear this." Now think about this. Paul was a man who was beaten. He was beaten with rods. He was whipped 5 times. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. This was a man who was thrown in prison multiple times for preaching the gospel, simply for preaching about Jesus Christ. I don't look at Paul as a man that was afraid of much, right? But he looked at the Corinthian church, and he said, "I fear this one thing. I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." So what Paul was saying is, I fear you Christians, you're going to allow your minds to be corrupted by Satan, by the serpent, in the same way Eve's mind was corrupted. You're going to begin to believe, and he lists these three things. You're going to begin to believe in a different Jesus than the Holy Scripture reveals. You're going to begin to believe a different gospel than the Holy Bible reveals. And you're going to receive a different spirit than wrote the Holy Bible. And right now, that embodies what we would call the New Age movement. Because again, their Jesus is not the Creator, God Almighty in the flesh, who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead on the third day. In fact, they deny the need for the blood atonement of our sins. They say there is no sin. You just need to realize the divinity within yourself. Now, what about it? What a bunch of nonsense. There is no sin. We all know there's sin. You know what? Even if you're not born again, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you haven't had that supernatural experience, you know what's right and wrong. Because the Bible says that in all men, whether saved or not, the law of God is written in their hearts. That's why, think about it. Anybody in this room, the first time you committed a sexual sin, boy, don't tell me. Don't tell me you didn't feel your conscience saying, "No, this is wrong." You ignored it and did what you wanted to do. But see, this is the danger. The law written in our hearts is what we call the conscience. The Bible calls it the conscience as well. Well, what happens is when you keep going against it, stealing, lying, hating, when you start going against it, what happens? At first, you can feel it. You feel bad about it. You feel grieved about it. You feel the grief, or you feel the conviction. You feel the sorrow. You feel the shame of it. And guess what? We all in the world now, they say that's negative things. See, the New Age say, "Oh, yeah, those are negative feelings. You need to meditate until you have peace." You say your little mantra, your little Hindu mantra, until you have peace. And basically, a mantra is the name of one of their gods. You're calling on a different god when you do a Hindu mantra. But here's the thing: this is what I'm getting at is that these things are counterfeits. But when you come to Jesus, when you come to really know Jesus, then the Bible says what? He is the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the Prince of Peace. And see, this is what they do. The devil knows how to present to you, hey, you don't need the real Jesus. Let me give you this Jesus. You have no need to deal with your sin. And see, when you have conviction of sin, you know, like I said, the world thinks it's a bad thing. But it's really a good thing, because it says that this godly sorrow is what's going to lead you to repentance. And it's this repentance, meaning this turning away from sin, that's going to lead you to salvation. In fact, that's 2 Corinthians. Put up 2 Corinthians 7:10 for them. So you'll see I'm not just making this stuff up. This is Bible. All right? Somebody say amen or oh me. Isn't it amazing what we know, what the Bible says is good for you? The world always says, no, that's not good for you. Oh, no, we can't have those negative feelings. No, sometimes we need them. You know that, anybody ever been on top of a building, a big, tall building that doesn't have a fence around the top of it? That feeling when you start getting a little too close to the edge, you start feeling that little trembling and fear, that's a good thing. That's a feeling your body's saying, if you get too close and fall off this, you might die. So you might want to step back. Well, conviction of sin is the same thing. When you start feeling bad about something or knowing something is evil, and your conscience saying, no, don't do that, this is bad, and the feelings that come along with that, that's a good thing. Because that's God trying to say, hey, don't go that direction, because too, sin brings death. Sin brings a curse. Sin brings sickness. Sin opens the door for demons to come into you. See, this is another thing the world don't want to talk about. Demons are real. Satan's real. The fallen angels are real. And they love to enter into people and control them or torment them. And so when you give in to this and sin, disobey God's word. And let's give a definition of sin. Sin is, simple definition, is disobedience to God's holy word, the Bible. Now, I know there's people out there, let me go ahead and address this. I know there's people out there that, oh, this is just a book written by men. That's what I hear all the time, right? All right, first of all, I ask them, the first thing you need to ask somebody is, do they believe, they may not be a Christian, but most people are not atheists and agnostics for the most part. That's a small percentage of people. So you ask people if they believe in God, and here's a little tip for evangelism, what I always do. I ask them if they believe in God that created the heavens and the earth. And they'll say, yeah, I believe in God. I believe there's a God. I don't know what his name is. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he is, but there's a God. Or some will say they believe in intelligent design, right? I said, well, if there's a God who's powerful enough to create the heavens and the earth, and the sun, and the moon, and the stars, and put everything in order, and make man, make human beings, and all the intricate details that they take just for the human eye, if there's a God that can do all that great detail, He can't give us a book that tells us what he wants us to know and preserve it. You're going to tell me he can't do that? See, that's foolishness. But let's just say, right, if God was going to give us a book, he was going to move his spirit upon certain men, and he was going to have them write his words down, what do you think he would do primarily to prove that it wasn't just man writing it? What do you think the main thing he would do, he would put things in there. What would he put in there? Prophecy. And not just vague prophecies like Nostradamus. No, he would put like very specific details. Let me tell you one of the most specific details that's happening right now. Y'all want a specific prophetic detail? Here's a 2,000-year-old prophecy, right? We've talked about it a lot here, but we've got visitors today, so I'm gonna share some stuff with them. But we've got a 2,000-year-old prophecy. Let's go put up Revelation chapter 13, verse 16. Let's look at it. 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit took the Apostle John up to heaven and showed him some things. And he showed him some things that were going to happen in the last days, right before the second coming of Jesus Christ, to both prove the Bible to be true and prove that Jesus will return. Now, this is about as specific as it gets, because he said in here, there's going to be a beast government system, and he showed that these beasts would be nations, and at the end, they would be united. What do we have now? United Nations. He said that this beast would have 7 heads and 10 horns. Guess what the United Nations has? In the Security Council, you have the 5 permanent members. They've recently added Germany back in. That's called the P5 plus one. And when they have a serious problem, they bring in the head of the EU. 7 heads. And then under that, they have 10 nation of leaders that rotate. They have 7 heads and 10 horns. Exactly as the Bible foretold in this chapter, that the beast would have 7 heads and 10 horns, and it would be United Nations, the uniting of nations, okay? In that process, he said, eventually there's going to come up out of those 10 horns, which are 10 kings, he said there's going to come one little horn who's going to be the Antichrist. There's going to be a world leader and a world government. All this foretold in the Bible 2,000 years ago, and guess what everybody's working towards? The World Economic Forum, the Club of Rome, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations. What are they all talking about? What do they all want? One global world government, they say. All right? And they are all calling for a man to lead it. One man. Well, this speaks about this system and this man in this chapter, Revelation 13. And this is what it says. Let's look at this. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, bond, free and bond, to receive a mark in, somebody say in, their right hand or forehead. Keep going. That no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. We can keep going. And here is wisdom, let he that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. I won't even get into that this morning, but let's look at it. For the first time in human history, we have the technology to implant something in your hand or in your brain that can connect to a computer, that can connect to your bank account, and control whether you use your bank account or not. Now, it hasn't been implemented yet where it's mandatory worldwide. But that's coming. The first step was the vaccine, because the vaccine is going to be part of this. The second step you're going to see, which is coming quickly, is called a central bank digital currency. Once they get rid of cash and they make all money digital, then they can control you. In fact, they're getting rid of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies because those cannot be controlled. The governments of the world, India is leading the way, China and India. Now, you take China and India, that's half the world already. They're already implementing their CBDC, their central bank digital currency. So the first thing it'll come out, it'll be a card probably a biometric ID of some kind that everybody will have to get. And then people will lose their IDs. People will have their IDs stolen. So they're like, well, we're going to have to do better than that. So we're going to have to put them in your hand or in your head. Now, is there any religious book on the face of the earth that foretold this to the specific detail? No. Just that one prophecy alone right there ought to prove to you that this book was not written by men, but by God Almighty, only by God Almighty, who's the only one that knows the end from the beginning. He knows the future. But there's many more. You know, there was prophecies about Jesus coming, proven thousands of years before his birth. How do we know that? Anybody ever heard of the Septuagint version? You ever heard of the Septuagint version of the Bible? What was that? Ptolemy Philadelphus II, king of Egypt, ordered the Hebrew scriptures, translated into Greek, 250 to 248 BC. So we know from history that the prophecies were written down at least by 250 BC. Really, we know the Bible prophecies were ended around 400 BC, 450 to 400 BC. And guess what they said about Jesus when he came on the scene? They said the Son who would come would also be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Right? So they told us, and Isaiah 9:6 told us he would be God, said a virgin would conceive. Bear a child, a son. And what was his name be called? He'd be called Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. Was there ever a prophecy that foretold Muhammad coming? No. There was never a prophecy foretold Muhammad coming. Or Buddha. But Jesus, it was foretold not only that he would be God in the flesh, but it says where he'd be born, Micah 5:2. What does Micah 5:2 say? He would be born in Bethlehem, 750 years before he was born, where he would be born, in Bethlehem. Then it gets even more specific. 1,000 years before he was born, Psalm 22, it says there that his hands and his feet would be pierced, that the people around him would cast lots for his garments. Do you know what? I think a statistician did this years ago, that just Jesus fulfilling one of those prophecies was like burying the state of Texas in quarters, painting one of them orange, having a person jump out of a plane, parachute out of a plane, and land on that quarter. Just one of those prophecies. Guess how many prophecies there are about Jesus coming, his first coming? There's a little over 300. There's no other book in the world that does that. There is no other one that it points to other than Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And this book is what Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is the word of Almighty God, the true God, the Creator. And he, you know, I tell people this too. People say, well, you know, whatever way you choose is fine. No, no. Let me tell you something. Let's look at it this way. If we have an intelligent God who can create the heavens and the earth, would he make 15 million different contradictory ways to find him, or would he make one clear way? One clear way. Because he's not trying to confuse us. In fact, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. He's made it. And that's what this says here when he says, I fear your minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That simplicity is simply, there is one way. And that's why Jesus, you know, Buddha didn't say it. Muhammad didn't say it. Krishna didn't say it. None of them said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There was only one that had the courage to say that, and that was Jesus Christ. He didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. Put that up, John 14:6. Just put it up here, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and thee life. And then when it comes down to believing the Bible, guess what? Just the New Testament. We won't even go into the Old Testament and the Dead Sea Scrolls and all that. But just the New Testament. Somebody guess how many manuscript evidence copies from ancient times that we have of the New Testament. Anybody know? My students ought to. Somebody tell me. How many manuscript copies? Huh? Exactly. 24 to 25,000. Now think about this. Let's talk about historical documents. Caesar's Gallic Wars, right, is a historical document. We take that to be Caesar's Gallic Wars. We take that to be a true account of history. Guess how many documents we have, ancient documents of that? 10. The New Testament, 24,000. Homer's Iliad. Guess how many documents we have of that, ancient documents we have of that? 600. My students, they know it. See, this is why you go to, this is why you take Fire and Grace School of Ministry right here. 600. There's nothing that comes close to this. So what I'm getting at today is, remember, all of this stuff that rises up, I don't care if it's the New Age movement, I don't care if it's Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Buddhism, Hinduism, blah, 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 blah. The moment that it moves away, any movement, any religion, any person moves away from this and says, no, it's different than what this says, that's Satan talking to you through that person. The moment they say, no, 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 there is no sin. No, 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 you don't need to feel bad about your sins. You just need to know who you are. You need to know you're a child of God. That's Gnosticism. If you could just get this knowledge of who you are, the divinity you have within you. See, that's Gnosticism. That's what our early church fathers, they fought that lie from the beginning. No, you don't have divinity within you. In fact, the Bible says the opposite, says there is no good thing in you. There is none good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is only but one remedy to wash that sin away and to change you from being a vile, evil heathen into a born-again child of God, and that is Jesus Christ. You must believe in the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus of Deepak Chopra or Oprah Winfrey. Deepak Chopra says that Jesus, that what we're looking at, what the Christians talk about now is like the third Jesus or the second Jesus or whatever. And to him, there's many Christs. Well, guess what? The Bible says about many Christs. He said there'll be false Christ, plural, many Christ. And they're going to fall for the last false Christ is going to be the Antichrist. But to the world system, to the United Nations crew up there, and the World Economic Forum, when this man comes forth, he is going to be, they're going to believe him to be the embodiment of the Christ consciousness. In fact, Alice Bailey, who's the big, you know, the one that they follow, the United Nations people follow, she's got a whole book called The Reappearance of the Christ. I was reading her stuff last night. Oh, Lord. But you know how she gets her information? She says that this ancient being called Dwal Kal, or something like that, Kal Dwaj, or something, speaks through her. She channels it. Now, they use the term now, channeling. Guess what the Bible called it? Fortune telling. Being a medium for an evil spirit. Right? There's nothing new under the sun. They just flip names on things. But these channelers, she calls him the Tibetan, right? And the spirit tells her these things, and then somebody takes it all down and records it. And that's where these books come from, straight from evil spirits. And she says, oh, no, no, no. No, the reappearance of the Christ, there's going to come another man. And the Christ consciousness is going to come down in him. He'll be the fifth or the fourth. He'll be like the fifth Buddha, right? The Maitreya, the Bodhisattva. They even say that the Muslims are going to accept this guy and call him the Imam Mahdi. There's going to be a man come they're going to look at as the Savior. And Jesus said, if anybody says, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. See, that's again getting back to this. And Jesus said, behold, I told you before these things would happen. See, there's only one Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Somebody said, well, the Bible says he's the Son of God. Yes, he's the Son of God and God at the same time. Oh, see, that just blows people. Because we try to understand it in just basic human terms. But the Bible says this, John 1:1, put it up there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Whoa, now. And then what does it say about the Word in verse 14? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And who is that? Jesus. Colossians 2, 8, 9. What does it say about Jesus? Fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See, Christianity is not polytheism. We serve one God that has three very distinct, you could say parts, some people say persons. People get all hung up on these things. Bottom line is, he's one God. And we are made in his image. And the Bible says that we have a spirit, a soul, and a body. So if a human being has three parts and they're one person, guess what? God, who made us in his image, three parts, but one. And yes, he's three parts. And those parts can separate from the other and do different things. But unless you understand who Jesus is, he is not a man who discovered his own divinity. He's not an ascended master. He's not one of a huge council. He is God Almighty. In fact, he calls himself the Almighty. Y'all know that? The same book, y'all see the scripture, they put it up there for you, for in him dwelleth what? Now, speaking of Jesus, if you go to Revelation 1, and the Lord had me change directions today on purpose for somebody, because somebody's being deceived about who Jesus is. And I don't want you to be deceived about who Jesus is. They got this, over the last few years, the Da Vinci Code. And those movies with Pedo Tom. Well, what was one of them called? One of them was called, I guess, the Da Vinci Code. What was the other one? It's called Angels and Demons or something like that. They tried to make out like Jesus was just a man and he had a secret relationship with Mary Magdalene and had a child. And again, what do we know? Is any of that in the Bible? No, that's all made up stuff by man, see? But what does it try to do? It tries to bring Jesus down to our level. All right? But let's read this in Revelation about him real quick. Y'all, it's only 12:35, man. That's a pretty good introduction. Let's go down to verse. I'm sorry. See, she was making sure I didn't add an hour there. So, like, I got plenty of time. Let's look at verse 9 here. It says, I, John, let's go to verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and also which pierced him, they shall see him. All the kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And then Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, when Jesus makes the statement, I am the Alpha and Omega, or I am the beginning and the ending, that right there, you can go back to the Isaiah, all over the book of Isaiah. What does Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim say about himself over and over and over again through the prophet Isaiah? He says, I am the first and the last. Now, for Jesus to make that statement, what is he saying to us through the Apostle John? He's telling you who he is. That's why all this other, this new age stuff, people saying, I am. No, there's only one person called I am. Remember when Jesus looked at the Pharisees and they were just thinking, the Pharisees were just thinking, oh, he's just a man, right? What did Jesus say? Before Abraham was, I am. That's when they wanted to took up stones to stone him, because they knew exactly what he was saying. You got these people running around saying, I am. No, you not. You should say, I am not. I am not worthy. I am not holy. I am not good. I am in need of I am. Right? Didn't Osteen write a book about it? Y'all know that's full-blown New Age occultism that he wrote a book about right there. But that's another story. Now let's go back to our verse, 2 Corinthians again, real quick. We're going to finish up there. There's no other Jesus but the Jesus of the Bible. There's no other gospel but the gospel of the Bible. And there is no other Holy Spirit but the Holy Spirit of the Bible. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, I've already shared it a few times, but when he says that you might believe another gospel here, he says, for if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit. Boy, there's a lot of people receiving some spirits, I'm going to tell you right now. That's not the Holy Spirit. Or another gospel. Let me tell you, you know, I've called this series the New Age Movement in the Church, the New Age Infiltration into the Church. Let me tell you how they do this. Let me tell you how the Church changes who Jesus is. I'll tell you how. Don't worry about your sin. Your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Just learn who you are in Jesus Christ. We're all children of God. You know that's a lie? How many of you know one of the biggest lies? Y'all want me to give you some big lies? Here's one. You're all children of God. No, you're not. Some of you are children of the devil. Because until you're born again through Jesus Christ, you are not a child of God. All right? Here's another one. Follow your heart. Bible says your heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. That's where you get in trouble. Follow your heart. I love him. I love her. Better check yourself. Y'all married yet? Follow your heart. How many songs? I mean, we could go through 50,000 songs this morning. They'd say it either like that or similar to that. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. No, you little devil. I'm going to follow Jesus. I can't follow my heart. My heart wants to do bad things. My heart lusts after things it shouldn't have. My heart desires things. My heart will create idols for me. Follow my heart. No. But see, the gospel is simply this. Jesus Christ, God became a man, lived a sinless life, then paid the price for sin, which is death. He died in our place, and he's the only one that could. It couldn't just be another human being, folks, just your average, everyday human being. It had to be God in the flesh. There's nothing special about my blood. Yeah, I could step in front of a bullet for you, and that would be, the Bible calls that love, me showing love, laying down my life to save your life. But my blood and my life cannot wash away your sins. cannot make you right with God, cannot make you ready to go to heaven, cannot help you escape the damnation of hell. It had to be the blood of God, the sinless, spotless blood of God Almighty. That's what makes him different. Muhammad, just a man. Buddha, just a man. You hear me? Jesus, God who became man, not man who became a God. See how the world flipped it completely. The world and the New Age movement, they flip it opposite. Because, see, they've got to try to bring him down to lift themselves up. And, see, there are many right now. There are many right now who do not believe anymore who Jesus is. And they don't believe the gospel where Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel. What is it? Repent and believe who I am. You got to believe who I am. You got to believe what I did for you. You've got to accept that and acknowledge that and ask to be saved, to be forgiven of your sins, to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. You have to ask. You have to want it. And you have to be willing to say, Lord, I repent. I understand that I lived a wicked life. I'm turning away from that. Repentance is admit it and quit it. Tell people all the time. Without repentance, there is no salvation. Why do you think now that most churches leave that out of the message? Oh, God loves you just the way you are. Yes, you're a homosexual Christian. No, you're not. You're a homosexual or you're a Christian. You can't be a homosexual and be a Christian. No more than you can be a habitual adulterer and be a Christian. There's no such thing as Christian crack rock. Oh, I only smoke the Christian crack rock. So I'm not Christian. No, you're a drug addict. You need to repent means stop doing the crack rock and be a Christian. Follow Jesus, right? There's no Christian meth. There's no Christian adulterer, no Christian fornicator, no Christian homosexual, no Christian idolater. No, you choose. If you're going to be a Christian, you understand those things are sin, God, the things that God hates. Those are the things that will damn you to hell forever. Those are the things you must repent and turn away from and walk away from. I was a fornicator. I was a drunkard. I was a drug addict. I'm not that anymore. Because I turned away from those things. Because I understand they are sin. God hates them. I want to be forgiven of them. I don't want to take God lightly. That's the gospel. The gospel is, the good news is, you can be forgiven of your sins if you repent. And repent's not just saying, I'm sorry, Lord, and continuing to do it. That's the gospel. But most churches don't even preach the gospel anymore. I look at the word repent through the whole New Testament. Just look at the word repent. You don't even have to look at the Old Testament. It's through there too. But just the New Testament. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. You want to be forgiven of your sins? There's a lot of people who want to be forgiven of their sins. They want a, go to heaven card, right? Where they say, just you get to bypass the fire and go straight to heaven because you said the name of Jesus in your mouth. No. You repent. Now, granted, people who have repented and become disciples of Jesus, true followers of Jesus, yeah, sometimes they fall down. But sin is not, they don't look at sin as something, oh, God understands, and just keep on doing it. They understand it. I better take it seriously. I better confess it. I better repent of this. I better get this out of my life. There's too many Christians. They've made peace with sin. That's like making peace with a rattlesnake and keeping it in your lap. Go ahead, keep it in your lap for a while. Just pet the rattlesnake. Sooner or later, he's going to do what? Be a rattlesnake. Sin is a rattlesnake. You don't cuddle with it and caress it and keep it and say, God understands I like rattlesnakes. God understands I got to have my little rattlesnake kiss on the side. No. I've been bitten by a water moccasin. I want no part of that anymore. You know, I don't want that again. Jesse, he used to go here. Jesse took a job in the oil field, so we don't see him much anymore. But Jesse tried to get a big old rattlesnake bigger than my arm out of his brother's camping area and decided he was going to grab it. He found out rattlesnake was strong. Rattlesnake got his fang under his thumb. Nearly lost his thumb, but God had mercy on him. But let me tell you right now, sin is a rattlesnake. You don't play with it. You don't keep it for, you know, I'm just going to keep it under the bed just for when I need it. I got to have my rattlesnake kiss once in a while, so I got to keep it under the bed. That's people hiding their marijuana in the house. Oh, and I know some folks that think marijuana's okay. Got one word for you. Be sober. Not high. I don't care what y'all say. High is the opposite of sober. And I did inhale, so I know how it works. That's what people say. Pastor Dean, I got all my stuff in it about 7 years. From 13 to 19, I did it all. Drugs, sexual immorality, bar hopping, bar fights, guns, knives. I lived that life, man. I did cocaine, LSD, mushrooms, speed, all kinds of pills, snorted cocaine. So I know what it does to you, and it ain't sober. It's not the word I would characterize any of that. And I don't care what anybody says. The one time I smoked marijuana for 7 days in a row, which most of the time I didn't do that, but 1 week I did. And let me tell you, by the end of the week, I was more stupid than I was in the beginning of the week. I was. I'm going to tell you, my brain felt, and I'm a pretty smart fella. I got a pretty high IQ. I felt like I was just dumb as a bag of rocks. I'm telling you, it does something to your brain. I don't know what, but I felt like dulled out. And I said, I'm not doing this like this anymore. I just went back to drinking more. killing brain cells with that, but you know, figure I got plenty to kill. But I know how to. But you know what? I don't keep the six pack under the bed. Don't need it. I don't keep the marijuana hidden in the wall. I used to work for a construction company. Guys burned his house down for the second time. Deacon in his church, and we had to go in and gut the whole house and redo the whole thing, from all the inside, everything, every stud, every piece of sheetrock, everything. So we go into his bathroom, and we're having to rip out the sheetrock. So when we rip out the sink and we rip out the sheetrock, there was a whole stack of crack pipes. And we found out that was the second time he'd burned the house down, fallen asleep with the crack pipe. Poor insurance company. I think that was it, him getting insurance, though. But most people, he was a deacon in his church, so most people would not know the crack pipes were hidden in the wall. But see, here's the thing. God sees all this stuff. You want freedom, you come clean and say, look, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, this is a habit in my life. And see, and this is what it's about with God. He knows what's habitual sin and what's you struggling, maybe you stumble and fall into a sin as a Christian. He knows the difference between you deciding to make it a habit in your life. That's why I've been teaching this for years, y'all. Why? Because 99% of the churches in the Bible Belt of the South don't touch any of this with a 10-foot pole. But this is the gospel. Jesus told them. Turn from your sins. Repent. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I'll give you real peace. I'll give you real freedom. I'll give you real power. Follow me, though. The condition is you follow him. See, churches now tell you, pray this prayer. Pray a little sinner's prayer. Lord, I believe in Jesus, died for my sins and rose from the dead. Lord, forgive me. I'm saved. And go on about their way. And we wonder why they go back to drugs, they go back to drinking, they go back to sexual immorality, they go back to whatever. Because they didn't understand that the true gospel of Jesus Christ is, yes, believe who he is, but hate sin, turn from sin, and walk with him. And sin should be the exception in your life and not the rule. If it rules you, if something rules you, then you got a demonic stronghold and you need to get free from it. You need it cast out. There's no sin that should rule your life as a Christian. But see, this is what the New Age says. There's no sin. You just need to know you're a child of God. Well, folks, you're not a child of God until you're born again through faith in Jesus Christ and repentance of sin. It's that simple. So the question you need to ask yourself this morning is, have I truly repented? Now, I know there's homosexuals out there. Now we got people, transgender people and all this stuff. Now we got people, well, what are they calling it now? I just saw the video. I don't know where people think that they were really supposed to be born handicapped. So they cut off her arm to identify as a handicapped person. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, this is where demonic insanity will go to the full route here, right? But let me just say this to anybody that say, well, I thought I was born homosexual or transgender because I felt this way from a child. Let me explain to you what happens. Demons can mess with you when you're a child. Demons can put that crap in your head. There can be generational sins and generational curses in your family that get passed down to you. And that's why you feel that way from a child. But let's just say, because I don't believe for one second anybody was born that way, okay? But let's just say that you were born that way. Say, well, I was born that way. Well, that's why the Bible says you must be born again. Because we were all born into Adam's race as a sinner. Now, yes, children, when they're born, are innocent, and if a child dies, they automatically go to heaven. But we're all born with that sin nature there, with that wide open door to Satan and demons to come in and influence us, even from a child. I mean, I was witnessing to two homosexuals on downtown Auburn years ago out on an evangelism night. And they were like, well, I felt this way from a child, so I knew I was born that way. And I went to church. I tried that Jesus thing. I said, oh, wait a minute. You tried. There's no try. Even Yoda said that. No try. Do. Right? No try. Do. You don't try Jesus. But I asked him, I said, let me ask you this. I said, any of the churches that you went to, and I'm talking to these two flaming gay dudes. I mean, they were obvious about it. I said, did either one of you go to a church that cast the demons out of you in Jesus' name? And they go, no. And I said, well, let me explain something to you. I said, you probably inherited these homosexual perverse spirits from parents or grandparents. It probably came or something happened to you when you were a child and the doorway was open. And these spirits came in there and they convinced you of this. And they control you and they dominate your life. And I said, it's not like you're Linda Blair. Everybody say you start talking about demon possession, everybody thinks of the exorcist, the head spinning around in the pea soup. Now that can happen. But 99 times out of 100, you never see that. I've seen some of that, but most of the time, most people, It's just the devil has a stronghold, just a place where he torments and controls a person. And I said, that demon has to be bound in the name of Jesus Christ and cast out for you to be free. I said, did any church that you've ever been to tell you that? And boy, you know what? Those two homosexual guys, you know, a lot of times they're just very resistant, very, you know, just, no, I don't want to hear it. They were like, you know what? No, they didn't. And one of them even was more, you could tell, like looking to the ground like, man. Because see, there's some of them that get to the point where they don't care anymore. They don't really think about it because they've seared their conscience so hard. But there's a lot of people who are in homosexuality, even transgender. You know, y'all, he's not here today. But we have a church member that went full transgender, had this, all the surgeries and everything, lived as a woman for 12 years and got his life right with God because the demons were cast out of him. He shared his testimony at our deliverance seminar. He's going to share at Skyfall this year again. But because he got, it was what, 7 demons that came out of him? Massive demons came out of him. I mean, he went from fully convinced he was supposed to be a woman, having the surgeries and everything, to complete repentance, coming back to God, reversing what he could, and is living for Jesus, on fire for Jesus right now. And I'll tell you right now, I was under the influence of demon spirits. He'll tell you. Y'all wouldn't believe what we have in this church. We have people that came out of the Sinaloa cartel, former drug dealers, somebody that was a man, then became a woman, and is now back a man again. A PhD from India. It's crazy. And we're like the United Nations in here. I like that. Especially when we get everybody here. I loved it when we had, what was it, Kamari and Sal and Jordan out holding up my Dino for Governor sign. I said, look there. They got the black, the white, and the Mexican. I can't claim we're racist. And we aren't even trying. It's just the way it is, you know. God is good. Come on and say, God is good. See, in the Bible, you know what? People say all the time, well, yeah, they had battles in the Old Testament and things, and y'all, some of them, we think it was race wars. It really wasn't. It was Nephilim giants versus human beings, but that's another story for another day. But I'll tell you what, the Bible, you want to talk about the New Testament, making it clear. You know, about killing racism. It says we're all men are of one blood. No matter how much melanin color is in our skin or not in our skin. We're all one blood. So that was that statement in the book of Acts destroys the idea of racism. Ain't nobody better than anybody else because of skin color. That is one of the most ridiculous things the devil's ever created. But look at all the turmoil and problems it's caused. The evil it's caused, the hate it's caused, the hurt and pain it's caused. And God said, you're all one blood. You have the same blood in you. And we all have to have, and we're all the same. We're all the same blood in us, and we're all sinners. We all inherited Adam's nature, Adam and Eve's nature. Therefore, we all need forgiveness. We need reconciliation. We need the atonement. We need the covenant that only God Himself could provide for us, not any man. So when people say all religions are the same, no, they're not. There is no other religion on the face of the earth like true biblical Christianity. And see, this is why they hate Christians and why they hate Jesus, because Jesus and Christians and the Bible declares there is only one way. And when you want to rebel against that way because you want to keep your sin, you try to then to find another way. that says you don't have to deal with your sin. You can be an adulterer, an idolater, a drunkard, a drug addict, a homosexual, or a transgender. You can be whatever you want to be, and God's okay with that. So they create false religions. All the false religions have been created by man so that they don't have to deal with one thing, confront their sin and deal with it. So see, I mean, I could preach 500 sermons on what the New Age movement is, but this is what it is in a nutshell. See, Jesus is also the healer. So they come in and try to substitute, well, if we change your diet, we'll heal you. If we anoint you with this essential oil, we'll heal you. Oh, I got a PowerPoint, y'all. It's already 100 slides long. There's no question about the essential oil issue, where it came from. No question. And the witches' essential oil websites say the same thing about the same oils as the doTERRA and Young's Living and those essential oil websites say they're going to do. I know you've been duped by the snake oil salesman telling you they're going to fix everything. But folks, the whole idea of believing that an oil has power in itself to heal you or help you have visions and dreams. And come on now, dream catcher. There's a dream catcher. Essential oil says it'll help you have visions and dreams. Guess what? Same thing the witchcraft website says about the same oil. Oh, yeah, to help you have dreams and visions. Let me tell you what. The job of you having a dream or a vision is supposed to be from the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, not because you dabbed a witch oil potion on you. We'll probably cover that next week. God willing, and the creek don't rise. If it don't stop raining, the creek's going to keep rising, though, because I love y'all. People get mad at me all the time, but I do love folks. I try to tell you the truth. If you participate with things that are come from a demonic origin, you're going to open the door to demons. It's that simple. That's why he says there's another spirit. And guess what? And that's what I wrote about. Where's the book? Hang on. If y'all hadn't read it yet, you're in sin. God made me write this book, so you better read it. But I spent a lot of time in here in this book called The Polluted Church from Rome to Kansas City, showing how there is a counterfeit spirit that tries to pretend to be the Holy Spirit. And within the New Age movement, whether you are into transcendental meditation or any type of Hindu, Buddhist, Eastern-type meditation, repeating short phrases over and over, repeating breaths over and over, trying to empty your mind, all that is satanic meditation, okay? It's Eastern religious meditation. But you can, if you do that stuff, and guess what? The repetitive prayers, like a word or a mantra, a phrase, saying it over and over and over and over again, guess what? The Hindu Sufis do this. The Kabbalists do this. The Buddhists do this. The Hindus do this. The Catholics do this. The Catholics inherited it and got it from Buddhist missionaries, all right? That's why you know who had rosary beads first? Not the Catholic Church. The Buddhist. That's when the Catholics adopted it from them, okay, to do the repetitious prayers. But when you do the repetitious prayers or yoga, people say, oh, yoga is just exercise. No, it isn't. Each position of yoga is a bow to the sun god. That's why it's to be done facing the east and usually in the morning. So every time you do a position in yoga, you are bowing to the sun god, okay? But the whole purpose, the Bible of the Bible does talk about that, does reveal something about yoga, but we won't get into that right now. But what I want to say is this: is that the whole purpose of yoga is to link you with the spirit realm and to awaken what they say the Kundalini spirit, which is the serpent spirit that supposedly lays at the base of everyone's spine. And that when you get into the chanting, the mantras, the Eastern type meditation or yoga or these different religious practices from the East, it's called a Kundalini awakening. You awaken that. See, Chitra knows. She's just over nodding her head. I mean, she's from India. She knows this is commonly understood. Well, what happens when that happens is there is a spiritual experience you have with the other side. And some people say that the Kundalini awakening can be terrifying and painful and very shocking. Others speak of having a feeling of bliss. But this is what they call this awakening of the Kundalini is what they call, too, experiencing a new level of consciousness. Okay? So to them, this is what, like if I say, you must be born again, to them they'll say, yeah, being born again to us means we awaken this consciousness, we awaken a new level, and this can be done through this satanic meditation. You can come into contact with the counterfeit Holy Spirit, which is really a demon spirit, but it tries to counterfeit the Holy Spirit. And I know people who are Christians who have these spirits and think it's the Holy Spirit. Oh, don't shout me down. It got quiet in here as a Lutheran church for a minute. But see, I'm saying all this. I've just shared with you the counterfeit Jesus. There's a counterfeit Jesus out there in that New Age world. There's a counterfeit gospel. And there's a counterfeit spirit out there. You want the real thing. And the real thing, the real Holy Spirit, will never lead you to depart from the Scriptures. He will never lead you contrary to the Scriptures. He will never lead you to diminish who Jesus is. He will never lead you to diminish what the cross and the atonement and the blood of Jesus is about. They will never lead you to diminish anything in the Word of God. Never. The moment somebody says, oh, well, I know there's truth in the Bible, but, oh. Well, I believe this part, but I don't know about that. Oh. You're already listening to the serpent. Well, I don't know if Jesus still heals today. Oh. And see, another thing, think about this. People are running to this stuff. They run into essential oils. They run into all this other stuff for healing instead of running to the healer. It's a dangerous world we live in. The Bible said Satan would try to deceive what? The whole world. Literally says he deceived the whole world, but there's a group he hadn't deceived. Doesn't mean he can't still deceive them because he's good at what he does. But folks, this is you want to know, understand the New Age and how it's crept into the church? This is it. They've changed who Jesus is and what he taught and what he preached. He is the Word, the living Word. And guess what? The living Word, Jesus, never goes away from the written Word. So the moment that they step away from the written word, they're stepping away from Jesus. And because of that, they've opened the door. They preach a different gospel. Jesus loves you just the way you are. You don't have to change. You don't have to repent. Your sins are forgiven. Don't worry about sin. That's a molar thing. Don't worry about your sin. Oh, you don't need to feel bad about your sin. Just know who you are, that you're a child of God. That is straight out of Alice Bailey's externalization of the hierarchy. You don't worry about sin. She says this. Don't worry about sin. Just know you're a child of God. See, that bypasses the need to admit you're a sinner. Understand Jesus had to pay the price for your sin and that you have to repent of it and that sin is a serious thing that can separate you from God. They don't teach that. They don't even teach you can be separated from God. In fact, they teach that if you are narrow-minded and exclusive, Jesus is the only way. and their sin, that you are the one separated from God. They flip it. Yeah, I've read hours and hours of this stuff. They believe, too, the hardcore New Agers, they were like, well, you know, some of these Christians are never going to evolve in their spirituality. So we're just going to have to do away with them and let them pass on. Because, see, they believe murdering people is not a bad thing because they believe in reincarnation. You're going to come back as somebody else and work out your bad karma. So we can kill you. You're just going to come back. This is why their conscience about killing people, they have no conscience. Now, I know in true original reincarnation, they believe you could come back as a bug or a cow, or that's why they don't kill anything, because it could be Uncle Bob. The cows could be Uncle Bob, so we can't kill the cows and eat them, because it could be Uncle Bob. But it's not true. You don't come back. You don't come back as another person. You don't come back as a beetle or a cow. No. The Bible says this, appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. You will be held accountable. At the moment you die, right now, at the moment you die, your body will go into the grave and your spirit and your soul will immediately either be with the Lord Jesus Christ or you will be in hell, in torment. That's the only two destinations after you die. At the resurrection, when Jesus returns, the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. That means your body's going to come up and reunite with your spirit and your soul, and you're going to be given a new body like Jesus has after his resurrection. And that's a body that can live forever. It'll be flesh and bone, but it'll be able to walk through walls. We're going to have a body like Jesus. But for those who don't, there's going to be 1,000 years later the resurrection of the wicked dead. And at that resurrection, you're going to be given what the Bible calls a vessel of wrath fitted for destruction. You're going to get a body that never will quit burning, and the worms will never quit eating. You say, well, that sounds mean and severe. Guess what? You are an eternal being. The moment you were conceived, you were, from that point on, going to live forever. The question is where? God does not let rebels, people who want to be sinners and be wicked, they don't come into his house. And you have to choose, just like my own children. Even right now, my adult children, I have two adult daughters that are living out on their own. They have their jobs. They have their lives. And if they needed me, I'd help them all I could. But do you think for one second that I would allow them in my house and come in with a boyfriend and fornicate or do drugs in my house or get drunk in my house? Oh, no. Not going to happen. Right? Because I'm not going to facilitate what's going to destroy them. I'm not going to help them. And I'm not going to allow it in my house to poison my other child. So see, the Lord's the same way. He cannot let rebels live in his house. That's why we got this little dress rehearsal down here going on. Y'all know that we're in a dress rehearsal for eternity, right? That's what this is. You're right now trying to figure out which house you're going to live in. And you're going to live in the house of Jesus Christ, or you're going to live in the house of Satan? You're going to be in the house of the one you follow. You hear me? So you can say, oh, Jesus is my Lord, but you're a homosexual, an adulterer, a drunkard. No, you're following the devil. So you're going to end up at the designation of the road you're on. You choose. That's why the Bible says, choose this day whom you will serve. I chose in 1987 when I was 19 years old, I chose Jesus. The world wanted to make me rich and famous, and movies and modeling and all that stuff. I had it all. They were handing it to me on silver platter. You'll be rich and famous. I was supposed to be in Die Hard, the first Die Hard movie. I had a part already. I was going to Hollywood, folks. People were already asking me for autographs. I could have had all that world has to offer out there. I do not regret when God started convicting me. Son, which way you going to go? He told me, he said, son, you can have everything the world has to offer and go to hell. You can surrender your life to me and live forever. I made a decision June 22nd, 1987. I made a decision. I'm going to follow Jesus. And I've tried to from then on. Hadn't been perfect. I've fallen down plenty of times. Been through some rough spots. But I learned, here's the good news for the Christian. If you fall down, right slap in the mud puddle, face first. You can get up, ask him to wash you off again, and keep going. That's the good news. You don't lay in the mud puddle and wallow around like a pig and say, oh, I like this mud puddle. I think I'll stay here. And sometimes the mud puddle is a pretty woman or a drug that makes you feel good. Sometimes the mud puddle is deceptive, isn't it? It makes you think it's good for you. No. Sin is death. Wages of sin is death. So, folks, I want to say to you today, and let's stand this morning. I want to say to you today, if you have believed these lies of the world, and even the lies that have permeated many churches, and you've fallen away from God, or you've never truly surrendered to him, today's the day to do that. Today's the day to say, Jesus, I believe who you are, that you are the Creator, God who became flesh and dwelt among us, that you lived a sinless life, that you died on the cross for my sins to pay the price that I couldn't pay, to pay the debt I couldn't pay. And I need my sins forgiven, washed away, and taken off of me, Lord, and only you can do it. So today I ask you to take them off of me, Lord. Take that burden off of me. Take that debt off of me that I can't pay. Forgive me. Wash me clean. I believe you died on that cross for me, and I believe you rose from the dead. I believe you are the true Savior, the true Redeemer, the true Messiah, the one true God. I believe it. And today, not only do I want forgiveness of sins, but I understand that I've got to repent and turn away from my sins and follow you and become a disciple. And so today I choose not just to have forgiveness of sins from you, Lord, but I choose to follow you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love you and let you be my Lord and my master, my God. And I will give you my life. So many people have not done that, where they have totally surrendered, completely surrendered, and saying, Jesus, you are Lord. You are master. I will do what you say. That's when you can be born again, when you truly surrender all your own plans, all your own desires, all your sin, and you say, Lord, I give it to you. I want to do what you want me to do with my life. Some of you, your own life is your idol, your own desires, your own plans, your own will. To surrender to Jesus is to say, I surrender to your lordship. People say all the time, well, the Bible says if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. But guess what? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and he's not Lord of your life because you don't intend on letting him be Lord, you're a liar. That's why these churches, they say, just say this prayer. It's not enough. Saying the prayer is just the first step. It's what you're going to do tomorrow, Monday, and then on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday. And a month from now, will you still be walking with him? 6 months from now, will you still be walking with Jesus? For me, it's been 36 years. Because I made up my mind. Jesus, you are Lord of my life now. That's being a Christian. It ain't going to church. It ain't saying a prayer. It's not singing in the choir. It's not being baptized 15 times. It's surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus, letting him fill you with his spirit and show you, he will show you his plan and his will for your life. And I promise you, it's better than your plan. And it's going to take you to better places and better things and better people and a better life. Folks, if I'd have went to Hollywood in 1987, I wouldn't be talking to you today. I'd probably be dead. Because in sin, I knew one speed. That was full speed. Put me with money and Hollywood, I would have been River Phoenix. It would have been over quick. Let's pray. I want us to do this. We'll do that song. Yeah, for the blood. That's it. I don't know the name of these songs anymore. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word cuts through all the many deceptions in this world. It just cuts them down. Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. No one can be saved or go to heaven, have their sins washed away. No one can be delivered from demons without your name and your blood, Jesus. There is no forgiveness without you. There is no eternal life. There is no going to heaven without you, without knowing you, believing in you, following you. So, Lord, I pray that everyone who's heard this message today that has still not repented or not surrendered or not believed the gospel will surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ today. They will cry out for the blood of Jesus to wash them clean. They will believe in your atoning, sacrificial death for sin and your resurrection from the dead. They will believe you have preserved your words from Genesis to Revelation in this book. And they will get free from the lies of the devil and of this beast, Antichrist world system. Lord, I pray this today for everyone here, for everyone watching. In Jesus' name.